everybody. Natalie Dale here, and thank you for joining us on this episode of Ahead of the Curve. If you didn't know yet, you haven't been here long, so welcome. But we are a podcast series produced by the Georgia Department of Transportation, and we spotlight the amazing people, programs, and projects that help make our state's transportation network ahead of the curve. For 40 days every year, the Georgia General Assembly, and that's made up of the Georgia House of Representatives and the Georgia Senate, meet during the legislative session. During that time, which falls roughly between January until March, if we're lucky, or April, if we're not lucky, to discuss and vote on bills that have the potential to become state law. I want everyone to stop and think about the song that you know from childhood. I will not sing it, but we all know how a bill becomes a law, and if not, we'll get there today. So while there are many topics and issues that our state legislators cover during session, from public safety and education to health and human services, and you guessed it, what we talk about, transportation. Today we're going to focus on the transportation piece, since that's our goal here, is to educate you about transportation, and we certainly can't leave out what happens under the Gold Dome. During the legislative session each year, the General Assembly votes on pieces of legislation ranging from the yearly state budget to road naming dedications and all the things in between. Every year we have hardworking folks from GDOT that represent us under the Gold Dome working to educate about transportation and the needs we have here at GDOT and the needs you have on the road. On today's episode, we're going to learn all about how and why GDOT is involved in the legislative process. It's going to be educational. It's going to be good. I want you to get out those history textbooks. I want you to get out that government brain. I'm Just a Bill, playing on repeat for the next week. We'll be right back.
On most days, you are a pedestrian at some point, whether you realize it or not. From walking across a parking lot to get to where you need to go, to fixing a flat on the side of the road, there are many instances when you might not realize you are a pedestrian. Both drivers and walkers have a shared responsibility to look out for each other. It's important to always pay attention when walking and driving. Follow the rules of the road and obey signs and signals. If you break down, be sure to stay in your vehicle until help arrives. And always remember to see and be seen.
In the state of Georgia, our citizens are represented by 180 state representatives and 56 state senators. They work to ensure the needs of their constituents are recognized and met when developing, amending, and voting on pieces of legislation that have the potential to become state law. This process involves committees to meet and discuss bills, hear from subject matter experts, and the pros and cons of each issue. As the agency that builds, constructs, and maintains the 10th largest transportation network in the country, which is used by every single resident and visitor to the state each and every day, it's imperative that we, at GDOT, are involved in the conversations happening under the Gold Dome. Today, I'm joined in studio by Georgia Department of Transportation's Director of Policy and Government Affairs, Josh Waller, and Abby Handel, Policy and Government Affairs Specialist for GDOT. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We're so excited you're here again. This is an issue that's near and dear to my heart because of the time that I spent working under the Gold Dome. And so lots of respect and kudos for what y'all do, especially at the beginning of the year, every year. That's a lot of hours, time away from your family, time up at the Gold Dome. And so we certainly want to thank you for helping to keep us educated and part of the conversation. But we want to get to know you first. So we'll start with you, Abby. Tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, how you got to GDOT.
I am the Policy and Government Affairs Specialist, and I started here in July of 2022, but my first experience with the General Assembly was through the Georgia Legislative Internship Program. I worked for the Senate Government Oversight Committee. I returned as an aide the next year, and then in 2018, I started full-time as a legislative assistant. I worked for a few chairmen and then the governor's floor leaders, and my final Senate role was with the Office of the Lieutenant Governor under Jeff Duncan, and then that led me here.
Did you feel like coming into GDOT you had a big grasp of transportation knowledge? Or like me, I worked on the transportation committee when I had a role at the Senate, but it still felt like drinking from a fire hose when I got to this building.
Oh, it definitely feels like that.
Do you feel like you just learn something new every day?
Completely.
It will not stop. I still learn something new, and I think, Josh, do you still learn something new every day?
I sure hope so.
Well, you know more than I do, especially about this subject. So this is Josh Waller, longtime listener of the podcast, first-time guest. Let us know, Josh, about yourself and how you got here.
Again, really appreciate the opportunity to be on the podcast today. Yeah, I have been with the department now since August of 2012. Prior to that, I've spent about a year and a half, 2 years with former Governor Nathan Deal's office. And then prior to that, 7 years and working for a member of Congress, my hometown member of Congress, former Congressman Phil Gingrey. And so that's involved in both the federal and state government has spanned through to this point.
You both work both the federal and state. We're going to talk a lot about state legislature today because that is sort of what we've just checked the box on. Federal government always working. You work both sides of government relations for the department.
Yeah, so essentially part of the role, and you know, we've got, if you think about our commissioner, our board, we have a lot of external points of contact, both at the congressional level, but that is the policy and government affairs function is to serve as kind of that, one of the main points of contact between both the federal and state legislature, so they know who they can contact, as well as information that can be passed back to them. So that's the critical function for that group.
So working with 180 state representatives, 56 state senators, working with local governments. That's a lot of work. How much time do you spend, especially during session, working up at the Capitol and working with legislators?
During the session, it sometimes feels like two jobs. You still have sort of the daytime responsibilities here at the department and other things. And then when you're in session, you're just dealing with a lot of unexpected things. When a constituent issue rises or legislation, something goes wrong. You can't necessarily plan out each and every day. Sometimes your job is to deal with the unexpected. I think Abby would probably be able to say the same.
Yeah.
Abby, yeah. A committee meeting that pops up last minute.
Yeah, a random committee meeting, a bill that would be assigned to a committee we don't normally watch.
And making sure, we'll dive into this, but making sure that y'all, you know, of all of the legislation proposed during session, mm-hmm. that you're into the details so that we know how and where the department may be impacted on areas. You know, we just had a podcast about bats. Who knew that bats impacted the department? You never really know what's going to impact the department. And, you know, this isn't a political podcast. This is a transportation podcast, and we like to keep it very even keel here. So, Josh, let's start with the basics. Tell us briefly about the legislative process.
So, and I know I was hoping you were going to sing the full song that would save me from having to respond too much to this, but we'll start with the Georgia Constitution, which establishes our legislature, our General Assembly. It's a part-time citizen legislature, which means that outside of serving as a legislator, they also keep their normal day jobs, and that includes a lot of farmers, lawyers, teachers, doctors, funeral directors, economic development folks, and there's even some engineers among their ranks. So the Constitution establishes them, again, as this part-time citizen legislature. That's pretty common, about 80%. 40 of our states have part-time legislatures. Only 10 have kind of full-time, year-round legislatures.
So in those states that have career legislators, that's what they do year-round, that's what they get paid to do, and that is their job.
For the most part. Now, you do have, there's of the 10 that are considered full-time legislatures, some of them are paid equivalent to a full-time job. Some of them are full-time, but they don't necessarily have the equivalent pay. So there's still that citizen dynamic, but their session lasts all year long. So obviously the ones that get paid the better salary probably like that better than I think it's four states that pay them really an equivalent salary for being a full-time legislature, and then the other six, they're full-time all year long, but don't necessarily, they still probably have to have other jobs.
So in that case, though, what's, I think, beneficial about how Georgia works is that all of these minds that are brought to the table, all of these minds that are elected by their constituents to represent their needs, because let's be honest, what someone in North Georgia may need is very different than what someone in South Georgia may need, or it may not be, but you've got, to your point, farmers, engineers, doctors, lawyers, all these great minds coming to the table. How do you work into that? How do you and Abby sort of work into that picture at the Gold Dome?
So I think with every legislator, they're going to come exactly like you said with their own experiences. The other thing about being a citizen legislator is they're at the heartbeat of their district. They are interacting with their fellow citizens in their district. They're going to their churches and local community meetings. So that with that, they bring firsthand perspective from their district, which kind of helps give, shows you, Kate, what, how would this piece of legislation, how would this policy affect the average person on the street? And so they are able to bring that perspective to the table from being citizen legislators.
When we are in session, which again, we reference as that 40 days, which starts in January, where the legislature is in making laws, not consecutive days, but 40 days. Talk about, again, like I have never seen Schoolhouse Rocks. How does a bill become a law?
Yeah, so I'll jump in there. And so, as you said, it's 40 legislative days, and that's also set in the Constitution. The one thing you can know, because it's in the Constitution, is that the General Assembly has to convene on the second Monday of January of each year. So you know when day one of those 40 days is going to be. Just look for the second Monday of January. The General Assembly is going to meet. So you mentioned the fact that this runs sometimes in the end of March, into April, and so people are thinking, wait a second, 40 days, 3 months, how does that math work? And that's that it's legislative days, so there's, you're going to have days where they're formally meeting, where the House and Senate chambers, they're in session, passing legislation on the floor or having debates, but then they're going to have days interspersed where they're doing committee meetings, or they're returning back to their districts, which in a lot of instances, they try to return back to their districts, especially over the weekends. And I say return back to their districts, particularly because when you think about the large size of our state and the position of Atlanta in the northern, kind of the northern part of the state, when you think about our South Georgia, Middle Georgia legislators, for some of them, they're not making a daily commute back home. They're staying up here in Atlanta, and then they're going back home in the weekends. And so you have that mix. So that's how 40 legislative days turns into about 3 months. In terms of the process, I mean, if, like you said, if you do remember that 1970s Schoolhouse Rock with the legislation with legs dancing around and singing.
But you're not going to sing it?
I wouldn't want someone driving.
We can't afford
it. I wouldn't
it.
Want to become a hazard on the road by me singing. So
okay. We want you to drive alert, not to the tune of Josh Waller's
but
voice.
If you remember that, you probably could get a solid B on a test about the Georgia General Assembly. There are a few nuances, but generally speaking, a bill is introduced in the House or Senate by a legislator. And so on the House side, it's usually called a House bill. So it's House bill, then it'll have a number, and then Senate will be Senate bill. The bill goes through a committee process, and then it passes out of committee. It then goes to what's called the Rules Committee, and the Rules Committee basically is that step between the committees passing it and then it making it to the floor of either the House or Senate. Makes it to the House or Senate, they got to pass it, then it goes to the other chamber, follows the same process. The key thing to remember is a bill to be presented to the governor for his consideration for signature has got to be in the same form. It has to pass the exact same form as the House and Senate. So if one chamber makes a change, you got to go back to the other, vote on it again until they agree on the exact same version of the bill. And then, obviously, when it gets to the governor, so our General Assembly this year ended on March the 28th. The governor, under the Constitution, has 40 calendar days, so 40 calendar days from the end of session to look at the bills and make a decision to either sign the bill into law, veto the bill, which basically sends it back to General Assembly. It keeps it from becoming law, gives them a chance to potentially override it, or the governor, there's a third option where the president can choose not to sign a bill and allow it to become a law without a signature. So that's sort of the legislative process in a nutshell. Then when you get beyond the 40 days, they'll have committee meetings outside of the legislative session. They'll sometimes have special study committees where they'll pass a resolution that stands up a particular committee focused on a particular subject with a goal either to produce a report or make recommendation on legislation for the next session. Those things will occur after the session typically.
And laws affecting GDOT, we are under Title 40.
And 32.
And so that's typically what y'all keep an eye on. And the transportation committees are obviously going to have the bulk of what y'all are there to provide subject matter expertise on. But because transportation affects lots of parts of our state, I would assume that there, you know, both of y'all have to be in many places at once, whether it's a transportation committee, but there's also a bill in. Josh, what other committees might transportation bills end up in?
Our transportation committees on the House and Senate side are our primary committees for legislation. Public safety on the House, public safety and motor vehicles have a lot of legislation. So when you talk about Title 40, that's really traffic operations. And so a lot of the speed limits, rules of the road, those are all in Title 40. And they can sometimes, bills in that code section will come through transportation, but they'll also go through public safety. The department's authorized under Title 32. 32 is where GDOT's created in law, the general powers, the provision for our board, which is in the Georgia Constitution, the fact that our board is picked by the General Assembly, the board picks the commissioner. It's all in the Constitution, but then Title 32 spells that process out. In the Senate, they've also have a public safety committee, but a lot more of the legislation in the Senate goes through Senate Transportation.
Talk about biennial. Talk about how that two-year process works.
So yeah, each legislature is called a biennium. So they will legislation that's so you'll have the election. Election occurs in even number years. That General Assembly that begins after the election. So this year is 2024. In 2025, that'll be the start of a new biennium. And legislation introduced in 2025, if it doesn't make it across the finish line in 2025, still will survive and be wherever it was in the process in 2026. Then after 2026, the same as what's happened this year, is if it doesn't pass by that point, that bill's dead and it'll have to go back through the process again.
Right. So anything that is on Governor Kemp's desk right now that is not signed, vetoed, or left to sit and think about itself. So anything that's on Governor Kemp's desk that's not left to be to be voted on, yes, well, yeah, no, things, or
yeah,
maybe
so. So obviously the things that the governor chooses not to sign, or if he vetoes, those things will be dead as vehicles. The things that never made it to his desk, they'll have to be reintroduced next session. So
just because a great idea did not make it through the finish line this year doesn't mean that that idea can't live on. It just has to come in a fresh form during the next session.
Correct. And I think the important thing, I mean, that's the nature of our democratic republic form of government, is that these general assemblies convene and every issue is always on the table every year. So that's an important thing to remember. And that's why it's important for, you know, state agencies as part of the executive branch to be able to provide the information they need, because it's always, you know, every general assembly, you think about it, every 2 years, it is often you don't have a lot of turnover. Some years you do see more turnover. It's a new General Assembly. They slap a new number in. They'll call it the 82nd, the 83rd, the 84th General Assembly. And so with each General Assembly, you can revisit issues from the past. Laws can be changed. It's a very dynamic, it's part of our form of government in this country.
Keeps you on your toes, right, Abby?
Yeah. I think we had about 40 turnover in the last biennium.
That's a lot. And that's a lot of fresh ideas. And that's, so again, to your point, that is how our government works. And it's a great part of being American and part of being a Georgian. Let's talk about something that is also fun to talk about, which is the budget. That's, you know, a lot of people want to talk about how we get our money, where we get our money, why we get the money we get, and why it goes to certain things. So let's talk cash.
Yeah, so this year, the budget, I would say that is the only requirement in the Constitution for the Georgia General Assembly, is they are to pass a budget. The 40 days they spend in session is for the passage of the budget. All the other legislation they pass, that's going to be at the discretion of the General Assembly, what they choose to send to the governor, but they have to pass a budget. Each fiscal year, the state fiscal year begins on July 1st. And so when the General Assembly convenes in January 1st, they begin in the middle of a fiscal year. There are two budgets they pass. The first budget they pass is called the amended fiscal year, and that is making any corrections, updates, moving funds around for the budget year that they're currently in, and then they're passing what's called the big budget, which is the full fiscal year budget for the next fiscal year that begins July 1st. This session, the amended 24 budget was the amended budget under their consideration, and it had a huge investment of surplus funds. There's been a lot of talk the last year, 2 years, about the amount of surplus the state of Georgia's generated. In the amended budget, they have identified and put in, the governor and his recommendation put a total about $5 billion plus in surplus funds on top of the already existing budget. And we have to give incredible thanks to the governor and ultimately the General Assembly for passing it. The governor, of that $5 billion, about $1.5 billion was put into transportation in the amended budget. That is on top of the funds, if folks remember, that there was a suspension of the state gasoline tax. Rather than see a reduction in transportation spending, that lost revenue was made up for with general funds. So we have, if you add that in, that was probably about $500 million. So thereabouts $2 billion in general funds to really advance the amended fiscal year 24 budget. That $1.5 billion, $600 million went into the capital construction program to advance capital construction projects. And then the governor in his budget created a new program, the Freight Infrastructure Program. and put about $500 million in there. That's really targeting some of the projects that need to be identified and existing projects in the pipeline for helping improve the freight infrastructure in the state and getting freight moving. Then about another $100 million went into airport aid. Another $50 million went into capital maintenance for additional resurfacing in fiscal year 24. And then $250 million is going to go through an LMIG type program to the local governments to help them fund improvements to local roads and bridges.
And LMIG, just so for the Alphabet Soup Group, is
local maintenance improvement grants. That's right. And there's some nuance about they did it in such a way that actually was it'll be like LMIG, but it's not quite LMIG because the LMIG program has a match. The way the General Assembly did it, this won't have any match requirements to the local government, which will certainly be of great help to them in being able to make sure they get those funds out and get them into the local project improvements. Usually you're talking about resurfacing of local roads. Then the FY25 budget, because you know, we're hopeful that when they're doing the amended next year for 25, that there might be some additional opportunities for surplus funds. They're kind of waiting, as I understand, is waiting sort of for the amended years to have that consideration. But an important thing about the 25 budget is that there was, and our treasurer mentioned at the last board meeting, a 4% cost of living adjustment for all state employees. Now it's capped at $3,000 max, but a 4% adjustment for all state employees for COLA. So that's certainly something that I know a lot of folks will be focused on, and that was an initiative of the governor, and we certainly appreciate both that and the governor's inclusion of the $1.5 billion in transportation from surplus funds and the General Assembly support for that, which he has signed the amended budget into law, so that's already the law of the land.
In addition to the budget, which is sort of the behemoth of, we don't function well without funding. You know, we can't fix roads and bridges without funding. And while there is the federal component to the funding, Georgia as a state has made a lot of progress and a lot of strides toward using state funding to do state projects aside from tapping into that federal funding. And so this funding coming from the General Assembly, just the acknowledgement of how vital transportation is to Georgia, I think we see that in the numbers. We see how seriously they take, the legislature is taking and the governor is taking transportation in Georgia, all forms. You know, we talk a lot on this podcast about how deep the department goes. It's aviation, it's transit. You know, we get asked a lot about MARTA being in, you know, Metro Atlanta, but transit is vital to rural communities, and that's the type of transit that we focus on as an agency. So we've got air, we've got transit, we've got waterways, we've got all these things. And so I think when you look at the budget, it really shows the importance that transportation has in Georgia, because we have the 10th largest network and because we are moving the freight we're moving. It's a vital network to the country, and so we're sort of seeing the fruits of the legislature acknowledging that. Talk about housekeeping bills.
So we'll talk a little bit about the housekeeping bill process. And so we, as the department, we'll go through each year and ask the offices throughout the department kind of what are some of the needs, what are some of the changes that we're dealing with from an operational standpoint, and where we might need to see an update in statute. And so we have that process. I'll expand on that. This session we had two important bills, Senate Bill 353 and House Bill 516. So 353, I'll give you a little bit of context. This was sort of the third stab at it. The first session where it got introduced was in 2022. And unfortunately, due to a technicality in the process involving a paperclip, it didn't get final passage. So what's the paperclip story? The Senate amendment did not get paperclipped to the bill, and so it didn't get final passage. Then last session, it passed, but it had an amendment that was put on from the Senate that did get paperclipped, did get sent to the governor, but there were some current concerns with the amendment, and the governor ultimately had to veto it. So Senate Bill 353 was a very important piece of legislation that we were excited to see move through. It had some updates to our P3 and alternative contracting method statute, which that's a very common thing for us to try and update is as we see changes in procurement law, see changes in way of how to effectively deliver transportation projects, we want to make sure that the statute reflects that. So that was included. Another important piece of folks is when we think about the amount of data that's used in transportation and data that's generated, we wanted to make sure and make it absolutely clear that the open records process can't be used to get any personal data about any driver on Georgia's roadway in their location. We think there were some protection there, but we wanted to make sure there's added protection so that people can always feel secure that, in terms of their data. So we were glad that that bill got to the governor early in the session. And he's actually already signed it. He signed it back on March the 4th, and it became Act 367. And then House Bill 516 was another one of our housekeeping legislation, and that had some important components. One was it updated, you know, we've seen the increased costs throughout this country. The quick response program, which operates out of our field districts, was capped at $200,000. The last time that was changed was over 10 years ago. This brings it up to about $500,000 to ensure that those kind of, exactly what they're called, quick response projects, where the field district's able to go out there and expeditiously solicit three bids. You're talking about getting some right turn lane, left turn lane, other types of intersection improvements that can make an important difference to the movement of traffic in that intersection. And people can see it turn around quickly. So it's a very popular program. It was obviously running into challenges in being able to deliver some of those projects because they were now, with inflation, exceeding that cap.
Even our biggest problems, you know, even our biggest projects, we're having big problems with inflation and the cost of construction and labor and materials that we've seen post-COVID. So raising that, certainly helpful to meeting the goal of the quick response project is to be able to do those projects quickly, fast, with a lower set of funds. And so that seems very appropriate.
Yeah, just a couple other things. There's also some additions to the legislation. One of those was allowing for the, and looking as with the World Cup coming to Atlanta, allowing for wayfinding kiosks to be installed on state right-of-ways up to 30. That's allowed under this bill. That's something that's certainly very important to the city of Atlanta. There's also, for those that are familiar, a year ago, Georgia waded into further into the electric vehicle space and passed a law dealing with having the Department of Agriculture certify EV chargers, much in the way they do gasoline pumps, as well as making clear how those things are taxed. They included on the housekeeping bill just an extension that gives one additional year for the Department of Agriculture and that law to go into effect. So instead of it going into effect next year, 2025, it'll go into effect 2026. That was also included. And that's not uncommon. As a bill moves through, you might have, as other bills die, some of those concepts may have to find their way onto another bill. So
Josh, in talking about housekeeping bills, technology, we talk about technology, the advancement of things like driving vehicles and autonomous freight. How much does technology play into housekeeping bills and having to constantly sort of look at how a quickly evolving technology needs to be addressed within the GDOT works under?
I think it is obvious. So when we are, the reason law changes is situations change. And technology, innovative technology, disruptive technology, certainly are major drivers for, does the law as written today still fit? Or do you need some changes to the law? So certainly that is one reason among many that when you're at the end of the day, you want to make it better. That's definitely something we focus on in the department, is making things better. And so that is what the housekeeping legislative process is about, is identifying those changes to transportation, those portions of the law that affect transportation, getting them right-sized to the world that we operate in today.
And, of course, the always exciting and always lively road and bridge dedication part of our legislation. Abby, do you get to work on roads and bridges a lot? Because I know that's sort of the highlight of first session for some legislators, is making sure that they are able to name a road or dedicate after someone in their community, again, as the representative for their constituents.
Yes. Road naming is one of the most consequential things that a legislator can do, especially a freshman legislator. This allows for a legislator to dedicate a intersection, interchange, roundabout, or a portion of a state-owned roadway to a honorary person in their district. It might be in light of someone passing. It might be a recent event.
These are big deals.
Yes, very big. And our role in this is just it's very small.
So while we have a small part in it, we basically put up the sign.
Yes.
We get the sign manufactured.
So that would be the district office that does the signs, but to start out, a legislator reaches out to me. I then go back with OTD, and OTD is very helpful in this process, both with maintaining the honorai map online of all the existing dedications, but also verifying that this location is available and that it's a state-owned roadway, because that is the only location we're able to designate. If it's a local, it would fall to the locals. So once I get the all clear from OTD, I draft a conflict or no conflict letter, send it to the legislator, the legislative council staffer that drafts the resolutions, and the transportation staff. In the Senate, it's a legislative assistant, and in the House, it's the House budget analyst. At that point, they run a local ad, they drop a resolution, and if it has the all clear from the designated House or Senate chair, it can be added to the omnibus road dedication bill. Traditionally, it's a massive omnibus one, but we do have some one-offs, such as this year we have one for the late speaker and for Richard Smith.
It's interesting to me. It's one of the most popular questions we get, even in communications department, about road namings. And we do have a very small role. So as an educational podcast, road naming and dedications are done by your local legislator. So if this is something you're interested in, then that is who you reach out to. So now we know, and knowing is half the battle.
I really want to underscore the work that Abby does and the team, because with members of the General Assembly, that, just as Abby said, it's very important to a legislator and to their community. And so she gets a lot of inquiries. We certainly appreciate all the work done by the Office of Transportation Data, OTD, alphabet soup there, right? But beyond that, just in general with the department, we're certainly a privilege to be able to speak about this process with you today. But there are people throughout this department, throughout the field districts, that are so actively involved in how we respond to General Assembly and getting information, that this really is an all hands, on deck effort. And so we really appreciate that. I'll just say that. I mean, the volume of requests for road dedications that have, that definitely was a yeoman's work, and appreciate very much Abby staying on top of that. And I know a lot of people in the General Assembly, the members of the committee, certainly appreciate all her efforts.
Those are so important to the families, to the communities. And so it is a great service that legislators do to move that process forward. And again, we are happy to play the role that we play in it.
And as Abby mentioned on that, I just really want to underscore again the significance, particularly of those two that she mentioned, is Representative Rick Jaspers and his dedication of two locations, one in Gilmer and one in Fannin County, for late Speaker Ralston. And then former late chairman Richard Smith, who was chairman of the House Rules Committee, who unfortunately passed during this session. It was certainly some shocking news we received in February, early February. And I still remember where I was standing in the committee when someone stood up and said, the way the chairman said was that Richard Smith went to sleep last night and he didn't wake up. And so that was something that was definitely put its mark on that session and reminded everyone. I think it's one of those things that always reminds people about the value of life and how important it just brings home our mission of obviously reducing roadway fatalities, because we know that we're talking about all this stuff, legislation, funding, but we are all human and we each only have one life. And so remembering the value of each life is always very important. Being reminded of that was definitely something that the passing Richard Smith did this session.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I know that between this past year and the year prior, it's been a hard couple of years for the members of the General Assembly, losing friends and colleagues. So what is ahead for the General Assembly? What do we see coming up next for us at GDOT and for the future of the General Assembly? What's on the horizon?
Well, I think certainly as we approach the 2024 elections, all 180 members of the House and 56 members of the Senate, all those seats will be up every 2 years, which is not necessarily the case in all states. In some states, they have different length terms for different chambers. So we'll certainly need to get, once they get through the elections, we'll see how the next General Assembly shapes up. There are some things we know will be an issue, and that's going to be the budget. So we will see where the economy is, what's the impact of inflation, and that will shape a lot. And then, like with everything else, it will be what are the issues that are going to come to the foreground. Some things you'll predict, some things you can't. But our role as a department is to be that resource and provide that information to our General Assembly, to our governor, who are elected by the people to set the policy. That's not for agencies. Agencies' jobs are to follow the law and provide the information, the impacts of the law. And so that's what we try to do to our best ability as dutifully as we can.
Well, I'm inside the House, so I think y'all do an amazing job. But even if I was outside the House, I would tell y'all the same thing, that as family, I think y'all do a great job. But I know how respected y'all are at the Gold Dome, because there is so much information. There is so many different areas that GDOT works in. There's so many different impacts that we have on the state of Georgia. And that's a lot of information to get to legislators. They have the education they need to make the vote that's best for their constituency. So thank you for what you do, and thank you certainly for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
If you have an idea for an upcoming episode or you have a question, please reach out to us at aotc@dot.ga.gov. Again, that's aotc@dot.ga.gov. Be sure to join us next month on Ahead of the Curve.